O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
I praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them.
Blessed is he whose help comes from God, whose hope is in the Lord.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord watches over the refugees. He upholds the widow and the fatherless.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
This weekend, we continue our dream series. I believe that this series is right on time. And I'm grateful that we've got Pastor Zeb Mengistu with us this weekend. And I'm going to, you go right ahead and welcome him. But I wanted to take a moment in light of the events of this week, just to share a few thoughts with you. You know, my earliest political memory is 1980 election, Jimmy Carter versus Ronald Reagan. I was only aware of it because, to my shock, I discovered that my best friend's parents were voting for a candidate other than the candidate that my parents were voting for. And I think I ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the day that I discovered that those who disagree with me are wrong. We remain best friends. And that's my earliest political memory. I don't know how we're going to remember this election. I think it's too close. I think it's too soon. But I think it's fair to say it's been the most divisive election in my lifetime. And I thought it might help if I shared just a few moments, minutes of thoughts. I'm not a political scientist. I'm a pastor. And the truth is, for many of us, it takes time to resolve our thinking and our feeling. But I want to share a few thoughts. 20 years ago, we made a decision that National Community Church would not affiliate with a political party and would not endorse political candidates. We don't have a political platform per se. We try our best to preach and practice the gospel, and we hope that the gospel informs and transforms our politics. Galatians 3:28 says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. And many years ago, we added Republican nor Democrat. You know, I think what Paul is saying in this incredibly important verse is that what we have in common as Christ followers, as children of God, is even more important than any racial or political difference we might have. But the reality is we face tremendous challenges. There is racial division, political division. And I believe that the answer is found in Christ. Amen. We're not going to start endorsing candidates. We're not going to start affiliating with parties. But we're not going to ignore political issues either. Because the reality is, they're spiritual issues and they're biblical issues. And if ever we needed the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ, it's probably right about now. You know, on Tuesday, I tweaked one of our core values and tweeted it. Pray like it depends on God, vote like it depends on you. But the truth is, we need to do a little bit more than that, don't we? Can I tell you what I'm praying for, what God put on my heart this week? As I look forward, because you can't change the past, as I look forward, My prayer is that God would raise up a generation of Daniels and Esthers. That here's what I believe, that God wants to raise up and call us to the public square, to the political sphere. And I feel a little burdened this week because I feel like in some ways, perhaps our city or even the process that we engage in might have gotten a little black eye over the last few months or the last year. But I want to remind those of you who serve our country in that way that we love and appreciate you. And so I think it might be appropriate to give a little bit of thanks. During the last election cycle, I remember after one of my messages, an NCCer came up to me and said that she had just read Wild Goose Chase. And as she read that book, she felt like God had called her to quit her job and go work on the presidential campaign. And she told me the candidate she was going to work for. The next week, an NCCer came up to me and said, I just read Wild Goose Chase. And as I read it, I felt called to quit my job and go work on the presidential campaign. And she named the candidate she was working for, the other candidate. And I thought to myself, I really need to get the two of you in the room because you're canceling each other out. You don't need to quit your jobs. And then I rethought it. They didn't cancel each other out. Men and women died for the freedoms that we enjoy. We know this. And it's not the freedom to win an election. It's the freedom to vote your conscience. It's the freedom of speech. It's the freedom of religion. And we celebrated those veterans on Friday. I think here's what I'm getting at. I don't believe that those two NCCers working for opposing political campaigns canceled each other out. I think they served our country by engaging in the political process and fighting for what they believe in. One of them won, one of them lost. But I'm grateful for both of them. Here's why I felt like I wanted to take a couple of minutes to speak about the election. It's not because of who won or lost. It's because we need the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ. And it's because I think for those of us who live and work in this city, it's more than an election. Every election cycle, probably hundreds of NCCers lose a job, get a job, or change a job. This is more than an election. It's a calling. It's a livelihood. And I think it would be very appropriate for us to spend a moment in prayer this weekend. But I'm going to share one overarching thought. As I read the Old Testament, and this is not a commentary necessarily on who won or lost or anything else. But as I read the Old Testament, there were good kings and bad kings. There were kings that started out good and ended up bad. And there were kings who were bad that started out bad and ended up good. I don't know what situation we're in, and I'm not sure how this is going to play out. But there's a prophecy that predated all of those kings found in Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the greatness of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, every single one of those kings, good or bad, whether they knew it or not, God was working his plan. And a Messiah would come from that line and lineage, not to establish a political regime, but to establish a kingdom that is eternal, a kingdom that is unstoppable. And what's interesting is that I think that this election might be even more complicated for us as children of God. And I think the reason is that we have dual citizenship. So we're navigating a couple of different realities here. But just a couple of simple reminders. And maybe they're exhortations. Can we as the church operate in a spirit of humility? Can we as the church operate in the spirit of Christ? Can we criticize by creating? This is who we are. This is what we do. We don't complain about what's wrong. We're the solution. We write better books. We produce better films. We draft better legislation. We start better businesses. We don't criticize by criticizing. We criticize by creating. Can we love people when they least expect it and least deserve it? Maybe this is a season for us to put that into practice. Now, I think that might mean rejoicing with those who rejoice and mourning with those who mourn. And that's not difficult to do right about now. And you know what? We're going to pray for those in leadership because that's what Scripture tells us to do. And so here we are, a nation that's very divided, as evidenced by the vote on Tuesday. But can I share one little win? A Washington Post reporter reached out to me on Tuesday and said essentially that country's divided, and she was wanting to do a story on churches that had been torn apart because of the political division within that church. And I said, good news and bad news. The bad news is for you, that's not us. The good news is it's not us. Can we love each other more? Help each other more? Try to listen more, understand more, and believe and be reminded of the fact that God is with us, God is for us, and His kingdom's going to prevail. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank You for the awesome privilege of knowing You, of serving You, and having a citizenship in heaven. I pray, Lord, for those this week on both sides of the issues that we face. God, I pray that You would give us that extra measure of grace that we need. Lord, if ever we needed wisdom beyond knowledge, it's probably now. We need revelation. And God, we continue to strive for and pray for and believe for revival in our nation's capital. We want to see Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Lord, would You right now just help our thoughts, help our feelings. And Lord, would You fill our hearts with hope about the future? God, would You remind us once again that the best is yet to come, that You are ordering our footsteps. You are preparing good works in advance. And we trust You. And we love You. And we thank You. In Jesus' name. Now, I took a little bit of His time. But you're going to be blessed this weekend by Pastor Zeb Mengistu. He's family. We grew up together. We consider ourselves brothers. And we consider Beza International Church, a church that he pastors as NCC, I don't know, East, we're Beza West. I don't know what direction we're going. But this weekend, you're going to have to get your amen on because he likes you to talk to him a little bit. And so would you give a huge NCC welcome as Pastor Zeb comes and shares with us.
Thanks, man.
Take your time.
All right. Love you. Love you too, thanks. Praise God, everybody. Great to be with you all here today. I think, first of all, I wanted to congratulate NCC on 20 years. I missed it. I think by a few weeks, someone sent me the wrong memo. but really rejoice with you. We consider it as a mutual victory for the body of Christ and for all of you. Like Pastor Mark said, this is not a guest speaker. This is family. This is family. You might have noticed the new guy in the worship team. That's actually David Ndembe. He's our worship pastor back home in Ethiopia, and he joined us today. And we decided to do this together. So he had to make sure that I behave myself in America. You know, so many McDonald's out here, you can go crazy. And I'd also like to congratulate NCC for inviting a pastor from Africa to speak on American Election Week. That's just brilliant. I'm really grateful to be here, and I just pray that I don't do too much damage in my preaching, because we're a little bit disconnected from the feelings and the whatever sentiments going on. People were telling me just this is a really sensitive week for America. I said that's good, because I'm just happy to be with McDonald's. So, I thank God for Ashley. Where's Ashley? She's here. Ashley picked us up, took us straight to McDonald's like a good girl. I mean, you guys have the best staff, most amazing staff. I thank God. I just want to share a few ideas, and if we have time, we just pray together. This week, of course, it's Dream Week, and I'm going to just share some things that God is doing back home, because it's also an extension of what God is doing here as well. There's a verse in Joshua 5 that we've had to kind of adopt, even in our context back home. There was a time when Joshua was confronted by an angel or a captain of the Lord's army, and he drew his sword and he said, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And the angel or the captain of the Lord's army said, "Neither, but as the captain of the Lord's army, I have now come." And I thought that was interesting, because in Joshua's mind, you could either be on our side or on our enemy's side, and there is no other. But this is not the captain of the earthly army. This is the captain of the Lord's army. And the captain of the Lord's army does not have a side. His side is the Lord's side. So the question is not which side is the Lord on, it's whether or not I am on the Lord's side. And the Lord does have a side. And we had to actually process this and package it for our nation, because just like you're having turbulence in your nation, we're also having turbulence in our nation. And our turbulence does not come from political ideologies or this side or that side. Our challenges are tribal in nature, meaning you're either from this tribe or from that. In fact, it's so bad where we're at now. We are in an official national state of emergency because of our tribal issues. So just like it's hard to stand up and preach in America on a day, on an election week, it's hard to stand up just about every Sunday, because everything was cool until the tribal issues started to boil up and manifest. So God gave us this idea, and I felt, man, this is such a great idea even for America now. Because we always thought that God was either on this tribe or on that. In fact, Joshua asked the question because he was sure that his side was the Lord's side. What a surprise that was for him. I thought I was doing the Lord's work over here. Surprise, surprise. And I think that's why, you know, many times when God comes, like when Jesus, to prepare the way, John the Baptist, he came with a message of repentance. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Am I right about it?
Yes.
I'm right about it. That's exactly what he said. But it's interesting. It's like he didn't even give them a chance to find out what they were repenting of. You are all wrong. Just don't even start. Don't even raise your color. Don't even raise your tribe. You are wrong. Start with repentance. Yes. And that's how you find the way of God. The Bible says in Romans 12 that we are supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we can find the will of God. Meaning that our own natural carnal mind is so far polarized from the mind of God that we need to be transformed before we even start dealing with God. He is not here. He is not earthly. He does not share your opinion. He has his own. Amen. And we actually find God's heart, find God's mind when we leave our own. You know, me and Sally, we always say, Sally is ministers with me there in Ethiopia. He says it's very easy to find the purpose of God, the plan of God, the heart of God. Just find whichever way you're going and turn around. Boom, there is God every time. So wherever you come from, whatever you might be struggling, I feel the Lord would just say to you, this is a message not from this side or that side, this tribe or that side, that tribe. This is a message of the Lord. Repent. You are all wrong. You're all wrong. You were wrong before you even started. Repent and find the heart of God. God is not here. God is not earthly. It was such a shock for Peter. Peter, who was so convinced that his side was right, to be sent and pushed to Cornelius' house because he was convinced that we were right and they were wrong. But God was saying, no. The mission is Cornelius' house because I have a plan of repentance for him, just like I have a plan of repentance for you. You find the mind of God on the other side. You're welcome. Now, I just want to share some ideas. This is Dream Weekend. Was that okay?
Yes.
Did I sink the ship?
No.
It's funny. Same thing in Africa, everywhere. It's just a different color. Yes, Lord. Didn't know there was so much of Africa in America. I guess there is now. God works in a realm that is so far removed from anything we can fathom that we have to start with repentance. Our first step is always repentance. And God will start to work backward as we repent. More we repent, the more we find his heart, find his mind. And you might be surprised. He might lead you all the way to Cornelius' house. You see, in those days, to even step into Cornelius' house, to even step, that was considered a sin. I'll leave it at that. Amen. I wanted to share just a little bit in the theme with this weekend of what God has been doing in our church and in our ministry, and just kind of share with you by extension, maybe like an update. It's been a few years since I've been here, and I believe that God has strategically connected us for times like this when we can come home and report what God is doing. Amen? Because God is up to some amazing stuff. Now, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says how after Adam and Eve committed the sin, they were separated from God and spiritual death began to occur. After that separation, God began to pass out the judgments that were coming to the snake, to the woman, and to Adam. And the thing that he told to Adam is very, very powerful, and I think it's something that we've kind of adopted in our ministry. God told Adam, he said, cursed is the ground because of you. And with the sweat of your brow and with great toil, you will eat the fruit of the ground. And so Adam has been removed from the purpose of God, and because he was removed from the purpose and the heart of God, spiritual death had set in. The land which was previously producing is now cursed. You see that? So when we come to Jesus, Romans describes Jesus as the second Adam, meaning that Jesus, the second Adam, came to redeem the work or restore the work that was lost through the work of the first Adam. So when the second Adam came, he came on a redemptive mission, and through his finished work, he corrected all the wrongs that came by way of the first Adam, bless his name. When the second Adam comes, what did he do? He restored us who were far away. The Bible says in Ephesians, we who were once far away have been brought near now by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if we just follow that same line of thought, what should happen to the land? Well, if the land was cursed because of sin, then a restored man, something should be responding to by way of land. The cursed land should begin to reflect the blessing. Amen? Are you feeling me? Okay, so if I'm saved, my territory should be blessed and not cursed. I have two daughters, beautiful daughters. Could you give me some love or clapping for my daughter. Come on now. I worked really hard on those. Now they're a bit older now, but when they were younger, you did not have, if you go to their room, you did not need any explanation to know that girls live there. All right? You just look around and you say, this is a girl's room. This is not a boy's room. This is not an adult room. This is a little girl's room. Because they have the flowers and the colors and the bears and the, come on. So just by looking, you say, girl is, well, if we are truly redeemed, if we are the people of God, if we are the children of the Most High God, when people come into our room slash our city, people should be able to look around and say, something going on over here, without even seeing the girls. Are you following what I'm saying? And that tells me that we, okay, so let me come back and explain to you what I'm kind of came to realize. For many years, I remember even as a young boy, I grew up all over the world. I am a blender, kind of like my shirt. And for many years, I grew up in Chicago, where the Chicago Cubs just won World Series. You have to understand, it's the most depressing thing to watch Chicago Cubs in Africa. Nobody knows what a Cub is. Nobody knows what a baseball is. I'm getting excited by myself and look around, just cats, dogs, chicken running around. It's the most historic, epic event in the history. Are you following? And then I go and try to help somebody and tell them, and they say, well, what happened? Why do they hit the ball? Well, you hit the ball and you run to first base. What's a first base? What's a base? Bass guitar. No, it's the little square thing. Well, why don't you call it a little square thing instead of calling it a bass? That's not a bass. And then by the time you're explaining, you lose all your momentum, you lose all your excitement, you just say, never mind. Plus, they shut the internet down in our whole country with the state of emergency when the Cubs are playing. I've been watching YouTube since I came here just to see what I missed. I had to get the thing on the phone. People telling me, I've been calling people telling me, what, isn't that terrible? Yeah. Okay, so part of me, time. So part of me grew up in Chicago, but another part of me grew up in Kenya. Yeah, that's what I thought. Amen. So I remember when I was a boy, we used to go, there was an evangelist who came, Reinhard Bonnke. Maybe some of you have heard of him. Great man of God. And God put a mission in his heart for Africa to be saved. And he traveled all around Africa. And I remember we went to see his crusade in Nairobi in the big park. And I mean, just see miracles and salvation. It's like, man, I could never do that. I'll see you later. Now look what I'm doing. Isn't that a mess? I told you, God's purpose, you just turn right around, you'll find it. I was trying to run from that, and here I am. You can run, but you can't hide. He found me. But he had this vision that came from God, and he marched across the continent of Africa, declaring, Africa shall be saved. And you know, it's interesting, that seemed like such an impossible task, but today, we can truly testify and say that Africa is not being saved. Africa is saved. In fact, Christianity is growing faster in Africa than any other continent in the world. And not only is Christianity growing, but it's a very colorful and a very vibrant brand of Christianity. And God is just moving. But what we've observed is that although Christianity is growing, when we look at the land, when we look at the room, so it tells me that there's something missing in our Christianity, you see? And that's the void that we've tried to fill in, because if our Christianity is growing, the land should start to be responding to the faith that we are adopting. The land should look a little bit more like the kingdom of God than the kingdom of darkness. And what we have is we have high levels of Christianity and spiritual expression, but we also have high levels of corruption, high levels of injustice, high levels of unrighteousness, and it just plagues the whole place. We should be the great bread basket of the world. Did you know that Africa has the most arable land in the whole world? Now you do. Did you know that Africa has some of the most beautiful climate in the whole world? In the city where I live, there is no such thing as an air conditioning unit. In fact, I had to explain to everybody, just like base, what an air conditioning unit is, because it doesn't exist. Why? Because the weather is always... Unlike here, we're about to hightail it out of here pretty soon. We'll leave you all behind to struggle with this stuff. We'll leave you in a burning building and we just go shoom out of there. The most natural resources, gold deposit, diamond deposit, minerals, the future of green and blue energy is all in Africa. All right? But we are the ones also who depend on foreign aid just to get by. We praise God on Sunday, but we have nothing to eat when we go home. It tells me something is missing in our room. Something is missing in our translation of our gospel experience to a redemption of all things experience. And that's one of the things that we felt, because we found out that if we do not take the initiative to develop the land, somebody is ready and waiting to do that for us.
Yeah.
At a great cost, a long and painful cost to the continent of Africa. So we've planted ourselves right there. And you know what we found? We found a small mystery that God packaged for us in Isaiah chapter 32. Could we pull that up, please? Is that on the screen behind me? Isaiah 32, verse 14, beginning in verse 14. Oops, I pulled up the Cubs score. No, there's everything in this thing now. Isaiah 32 and verse 14, it says, "The fortress will be abandoned, the noisy city deserted, citadel and watchtower will become a wasteland forever, the delight of donkeys a pasture for flocks, till the Spirit is poured on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest." Then it says, "The Lord's justice will dwell in the desert, his righteousness live in the fertile field, and the fruit of that righteousness will be peace, its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest." Hallelujah. It says that the mess will continue until the Spirit is poured out from on high. When the Spirit is poured out from on high, the desert will turn into a fertile field, and the fertile field will turn into a forest. And it says God's justice will dwell in the fertile field and his righteousness in the forest. See, what we have in Africa is an outpouring of the Spirit, but the forest turning into a desert, instead of the desert turning into a forest. There's something wrong with that picture. It tells me there's something wrong with our Holy Spirit experience, because God's foundation is justice and righteousness. That's the foundation of his throne. The foundation of his kingdom is justice and righteousness. And there's a difference between my justice and righteousness and God's justice and righteousness. God's justice and righteousness will produce a harvest of justice and righteousness in the earth, and it will turn desert conditions into fruitful conditions. Amen. So we advocate for justice and righteousness, not just preaching and shouting. We're good at that. All right? We're good at that. If there was preaching and shouting, I would not go to Africa, because we have enough of that. But we need a resurrection, a revival in the areas of justice and righteousness, in fair dealing with one another. So very short with the time I have left, I want to just explain what God has given us so you can get an idea of what we're after. The whole continent, by the way. The whole thing. I started believing God with my car. I did not have a car. Did I tell this testimony before? Can I have 2 extra minutes? You have to hear my testimony. Actually, it was this city. This city we used to live, me and my wife and my baby, we did not have a car. And how many of you know when you live in Virginia, you need a car? How many of you need a car right now? Okay. This is how you get a car. I felt in my spirit, in the morning, something that God put in their car. Did we have a car? But I felt car. So what I did is I went to my kitchen and I pulled a plate and I began to drive my plate around the house. Like, and my wife's laughing at me, you know. And we're just having a good time. And then I had to stop. Why you stop? I stopped because we're at a red light. And you know it's dangerous. You cross that red light, someone could hit you. Yes. So I let the cars pass. And then went around a few times and took my plate back to the kitchen and parked it. And I went outside and walked on my number 11 bus. Number 11 bus is these two right here. One and one is 11. And I walked. I came back that afternoon. And when I came back that afternoon, my wife was looking at me like this. As she always does. And when she saw me, she said, "You won't believe what happened." Because she saw me running around with my car in the morning. And she said, "Right when you left, this lady called." I'll never forget her, Ainalem. And she said, "I don't know. God spoke to me. Do you guys need a car?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh my God, my husband is a man of God." I said, "You should have listened to me the first time." And so I was driving a plate in the morning. I was driving a 1987 Honda Civic. Come on, somebody. Now, it wasn't the best of cars, but it was a car. It was one of those where you had to use a key and your foot to open, you know. But God is good. And we have a car. A car is a car. So my faith started with that. So I started driving a plate for a car. Now I'm driving a plate for a continent. You see, you start with the lion and the bear, and then you come up to Goliath, right? You see a redemption of a whole can. We have a vision that the hands of begging turn into the hands of blessing because of the Spirit being poured out and true justice and righteousness taking root as God sees it. Hallelujah. We believe that a revival can take place not just in a service, but in a nation. That the desert can convert into a fertile field, and the fertile field can convert into a forest. And that God's justice and righteousness will be the standard and the culture. Just drive. I know it's crazy. Just drive your plate with me. Come on. If it's too ugly, what you're seeing, just close your eyes and drive your plate. We're in a state of emergency right now. Drive your plate. We're on this side or on that side. Drive your plate. Oh. You are black or you are white. Drive your plate. You are on this side of the aisle. That's what they call it here, aisle. You have to explain that to Africans too. Or you're on that side of the aisle. Drive your plate. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. You are born again of incorruptible seed. This world is not your home, but you are here to convert this world into more of God's kingdom than what it looks like right now. And because of God's presence in your life, because of God's kingdom at work in your life, because we are the church and we are the people of God, this kingdom will start to look more like that kingdom, not because of what the professionals and the experts say, but because we have come in His name. Amen. Hallelujah. We are not on a side. We have come from Him, and we bring God's justice and righteousness. Amen? Amen. 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 I am sorry. I'm way over time. I just want to show you a few pictures, what we've tried to do, because we realize we can have a great service. That's not a problem for Africa. We know how to do service. We know how to church. We know how to sing. We know how to dance. And we know how to thread. All right? But justice and righteousness is a problem. It's a big problem. So we've introduced an ethical charter in our ministry. If you're a business person or a professional, everybody has to sign ethical charter, meaning that I won't give bribes and I won't take bribes. It's very easy to sign that in America because we have laws that are already set up along these lines. But it's a very, very tall order. And it's a very big challenge for Christians and people who believe in God to sign an ethical charter of no bribe policy. It's very hard. It's like suicide for your business. I don't have time to get into the story. So people sign no bribes, no bribes, no bribes. I'm sorry. Word of God said no bribe, no bribe. fair price for fair products. Treating employees with respect. Everybody has to sign off of this. Otherwise, you go to the other church. All right, but we have been able to hold a standard with our business. We have amazing testimonies of how God has delivered for people who have paid a price to stand with an ethical standard in honor of God, trusting that God will bail them out even if they lose temporarily. Yes. And what we found that God has taken these people and caused them to become people of standing, notable people, people who stand out in society and who become what the Bible calls sought after. And for that, we give God all the praise. Amen? Secondly, I want to tell you about our Africa Arise conference. We have a conference every year called Africa Arise, where we take these principles of justice and righteousness, and God has really blessed this conference. Last year, I think we had 42 nations come to the conference, and they've been part of this conference, and it's been wonderful because we don't just get hype and excited and shout and thread. We also show and take case studies of how we can really bring the righteous revolution that Africa needs so that the land will bring forth its fruit. I don't know if we have a picture or so. I had a few pictures of it. There we go. This is Uche, and that's me right there. All right. This is our annual conference. Uche is basically the Kirk Franklin of Africa. All right. You have another picture? Okay, this is the conference. This is what it looks like. And I'm happy to announce that our 10th anniversary of Africa Arise, we have a very special guest. Well, guess what that is, right? It's Pastor Mark. And he said yes. I'm putting it on video for all campuses. He's missing one weekend in January 2018. Is that what we said? So if he's here, you know what to do. Kick him out that Sunday. Doesn't belong. All right? He's coming home, and we'd like to invite everybody to come and be a part of this just to see what God is doing. Let's just leave Beza West empty for one Sunday, and everybody come on. It's not that far. It is far, but bring some Doritos and McDonald's with you when we come. Thirdly, I'm very excited what we've just started this year. We have our youth group. They kind of took this initiative they just bought into this vision, and they created the first ever Young African Thinkers Convention. And they had no funding, no bag. They went knocking on the African Union. The African Union headquarters is in our city. And they went knocking doors and said, let's have a Young African Thinkers Convention. And nobody gave them any time of day, no funding, no nothing. They got their own funding. They did their own research. And they invited 120 kids from 10 different African countries to have the first ever Young African Thinkers Convention in the African Union. Now, I'll tell you why this is so powerful. Because generally, every young person in Africa has one dream, is to get out of Africa. We actually have a new generation that have got this redeemed mind that God put in there, and they're actually excited about changing this desert condition into a forest. And I think that can only be done by them. And I used to be a youth pastor. I know. You don't get youth excited unless it's the Spirit of God. Or ESPN. It just doesn't happen. And so I spent 10 years youth ministry just getting people to behave. Leave her alone. Stop touching him. Stop fighting. I mean, seriously, it was a mess. These kids are on a different level. They have a vision for their continent. They have a vision for their nation. This is done only by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen, amen. I think we have a picture. Is there a picture of that one? Young African. Yeah, there we go. Look at that. See? Now, this is the amazing thing. The last day, they had 2 days of brainstorming. On the last day, they presented for the leaders of the African Union. They were so impressed. They didn't know what hit them. But we know what hit them. It almost felt like church without the hallelujah, you know? But sometimes you have hallelujah and there's nothing going on there. So I guess it might as well have something. But God did such an amazing thing that they are pushing. These leaders are now lobbying to make the presentations that the young people made as the main agenda of the next Heads of State Summit. So that the leaders and presidents and heads of state of Africa will be able to see what the young people are coming up with. And then we'll start pushing for some funding. Come on, somebody. I'm way over time. But I wanted to remind you all that we're all in this together. We bring God's kingdom everywhere we go. We are people of mission. If you show up, change shows up. The room starts to reflect the God that's in you. I just wanted to pray for you all that God would just really empower you wherever you are. And if it's not looking so good, or if you're on a losing side of an equation, just pick up your plate. Mm-hmm. pick up that plate and start driving. Amen. Could we all stand together? Thank you, Lord. God is here. God is here. Hallelujah. Could we do something? I feel, I was talking with David. I don't know how we do altar call. If you don't know Jesus, please get in the Jesus ship and do it quickly. God loves you. He's already provided everything, but a gift always has to be received in order for it to be completed, right? Amen. But I feel even if you are already a child of God and you've already been born again, I feel there's sometimes we come to a place where we all need to repent. Just because we've got too carried off on this side or on this side, we're all wrong, he's right, and we need to come home. Yes. Amen? Yes. Yeah, I feel we need to respond because I even feel the tension. We felt the tension in Africa. You know, America sneezes, everybody catch a cold. I believe that God has his ways through the wind and through the storm. And we're going to come out just fine because Jesus is the one who shows up in the storm. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is on his own agenda. So I understand that the nation is divided now. All right. I believe the church has a voice in the nation greater than any other voice because we are the only institution that has been given legal authority to bind and to loose. That was not given to McDonald's, as great an institution as that is. All right. We have an authority to bind and loose. So could we just do something as a symbolic with the time that we have? Could you just grab the hand of the person next to you as a symbol of just coming together and holding us? Because the nation is divided, but let the church be of an opposite spirit.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And let this just be, you know, ecclesia is what the Greek word is for church. It's a political word, actually. And it represents like Senate or Parliament. And whatever goes on in the Senate or Parliament or Congress, the rest of the nation doesn't necessarily know, but they don't need to know. We just need to know. Ecclesia just needs to know. And we've just put our hands together in the name of the Lord, representing the healing that needs to come.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so as we do that here, the world does not need to know. They all don't. But let's just get it right here. If Ecclesia gets it right, it will trickle out. They'll feel it. Yes, they will. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are your people. Father God, we are not strong on our own. We are not wise on our own. We have nothing of value, Father God, to give to you. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come together today as your people. And we hold hands representing the unity that you have provided through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father God, you have destroyed the dividing wall of hostility between us so that we can call on your name in unity and as one people. And Father God, whatever is going on outside doesn't matter right now because your people have called on your name in here. And I pray, Father God, for the repentance that needs to take place now in our hearts, Father God. I pray you would make it a quick repentance, Father God, that we would find your mind, that we would find your heart. We thank you for what you're doing in this church, Father God. May the light shine at NCC. May the light shine, Father God, across this city, Father God. May the room start to reflect the God that has transformed our lives and had brought us out of nothing into something, Father God. May the desert conditions, even here, Father God, turn into a forest, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing in Africa, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing in our ministry and in our church and all across the world, Father God. This is a week of mission, Father God. Your kingdom is beyond and above. So we lift our eyes, Father God, and get your perspective and get your mind today. I thank you for 20 years of NCC, and I thank you that the 20 years to come are even going to be greater still. To you belong the praise and the glory, Father, forever. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Bless you guys.